Lord, in Jesus' name, Lord, we are grateful this night, Lord, for life, for breath, Lord, for your truth, Father, for your spirit that leads and guides us, Lord, into all truth and through this world and through this life. And Father, right now, Lord, we look to you, Father, the author and the finisher of our faith. We thank you, Lord, for the way that you instruct us, the way that you teach us, Lord, the way that you show us what we need to know day by day, Lord God, to walk through this life and through this world. And Lord, as your people, Lord, we seek for your revelation, Lord God, your truth, Lord, the light to flood our lives in every area, Lord, and just to make us exactly what you intend us to be. Lord, we don't want anything, Father God, except your presence, your spirit, and Lord, to be the reflection of you that you intend us to be. So Lord, right now we just yield to your work, Father. We bind every spirit of the enemy and every attack and every assignment of the devil, and we cast it out. And Lord, we pray, Father, right now in Jesus' name, Lord, just for a free flow of your spirit in and through us, Lord. Lord, we look to you, Father, for the rest and the peace that you promised your people. And as we go forward, Lord, we pray that every word that's spoken would be in accordance with your plan and purpose. Your will be done in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay. Amen. So, got a little bit of a cold. And so tonight, all right, let's go Galatians chapter 5. And I think we're going to be able to finish this one up tonight. Probably be a little bit shorter than usual. Let's see here. Galatians chapter 5. And this is one of the foundational verses that we started with. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ had made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. All right. When we started this whole thing, one thing that we began with was a general premise. You have people in this world that are either free or they're bound. They're either children of light, children of darkness. They're either on the side of truth or they live and accept the lie. They're either under the power of Satan or under the power of God. You have people are living in one of two realities. Period. That's all that is that's going on in this world. You know, so when people get distracted, when they get caught up with, this nation's attacking this nation, and this is what's happening over here with this water company, and this is what's happening with, excuse me, with some swine flu or some H1N1 or the measles, mumps, rubella, whatever it is that's going on in the world, all of this stuff, there's a core reality that's much deeper than all of that, which is either people are free or they're bound. And so people that are kingdom people, people that are those that have been set free by Christ Jesus, these are those that are on the path of life, that are on the path of freedom. Now, the path of freedom begins, we talked about this early on too, at the moment that someone bows their knee to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Because it seems like a bit of a paradox, because like you would think, okay, by bowing your knee in, you're putting yourself under subjection to something or someone. But when you bow your knee to freedom, because he is freedom, he is true freedom, you're bowing your knee to that dominion. Because everything outside of him is bondage. Everything outside of him is a trap, is a snare, is something that is there to grab your soul. Now, the world is very sophisticated. The world system has been here for a really long time. And every year that passes, every moment that goes by, it gets more and more sophisticated in what it does, in the harvesting of the soul, in the attempt to harvest people's souls. So, for example, you know, just think back 20 years, 25 years ago, there was no internet for the public. Period. It was a military technology developed to, in the case of a strike hitting some city, where information would still be able to get through because it would be rerouted through packets and going to different military computers. Then they realized it had a commercial application, like so many military technologies do. And so they made it commercial, and then they introduced email and web pages and Microsoft Explorer and all of those things. And as time went on, now today, you all of your personal information can be tracked. All of your banking can be done online. All of your, I mean, you just go down the list of how invasive this is into people's lives and how people also can't live without that technology because they've become so dependent on it for work, for, now, in some ways, it's really sped things up. Where, you know, like, for example, when I was a kid, and when I was living in Sri Lanka and my family's in the States, if I had to make a phone call to the States, it was so expensive. It's like $2, $3 a minute. And so we would like once a month, you know, call the States. Period. Once a month. And it would sound like you're talking to somebody in a tin can because it was bouncing off of a satellite. And when we would talk to them, you know, it would be like, oh, hey, how are you? Oh, great to hear your voice. How's everything there? How are you doing? Is everyone okay? Okay, great. Oh, okay, just tell them all I said that. Okay, bye. And that was it. Now, I mean, through stuff like Google Video and Skype and all this, you can sit and do video conferencing for hours with somebody live anywhere in the world. What's happened? Well, okay, there's really strong advancements with information technology, but also look at what this stuff ends up being used for and the purposes that they end up being used for. People are tracked, people are monitored, they know people's spending patterns, they know where they go, they know what they do. I was talking to a friend recently, I just got my new passport. And, you know, I even showed you that one too, where like, you know, the new passports have an electronic chip inside. The old ones didn't. And because now they're being scanned and they're having all this information and security purposes, and it's just a matter of time before they take that chip from the passport document and stick it in your hand. Because now you can't lose it, and now it can't be stolen, now it can't be duplicated. And so the world, as it continues to evolve in the system that it is, the purpose of the world system is to harvest the souls of men. And ultimately, you know, deals in the souls of men. So it's designed there to harvest your soul. But one thing that it requires your free will submitting to it. See, we either bow before the kingdom of God and the King, Christ Jesus, or we bow our knee to self, selfishness, the world system. One or the other. There is no in between. And so what the world system continues to do as it evolves is it continues to work to blot out that light, to blot out that truth. So to get it to the point where you are so confused, so dismayed, so for example, your food gets polluted. So when you eat something, you don't get proper nutrition from it. So you're getting fat or you're getting sick from the food that you're eating. And that, you know when you eat, like you've eaten something bad before and your stomach's off and like you can't think straight because you're just thinking so much about, you know, like the same thing. The goal is just to slowly kill you off through the food supply. And in the process of doing that, to keep your mind and your soul all muddled so that you have a hard time being, because like scripture says, be still and know that I'm God. To be able to come into a place of stillness where you can hear His voice. So the world works very hard to make sure that you can't, to surround you with so much noise that you have a hard time hearing Him. So, I mean, I turned on the TV the other day, it was just loud. It was loud, annoying. It was just all these sound bites, everything was just like pop, 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 really, really fast, really fast, really fast. Commercials, same thing. And just like, it gives you a headache. If you haven't seen, here's an experiment to try. Step away from the TV for 1 week. Don't like, it's like not eating sugar for a week. And then go back and try it and turn it on and see what happens. If you turn it on after a week, it's just annoying and loud and rambunctious and just give you a headache. Same thing with sugar. If you're used to like all the sugar in your diet, you stop, And you go and you pass through that time of like being exposed to it, and then you try it again, the same amount of sugar you used to have before, you're like, whoa, this is way too sweet. But the world works to pollute the mind, pollute the body, kill the soul, kill the spirit, do whatever it can to do that, so that in the end, to take away your ability to even have the possibility of that choice. So even when they say, oh, okay, Jesus, what do they do? Well, the world comes up with an alternative. Not the real Jesus, but a prepackaged McDonald's Jesus that you're commercialized, absolutely, that you're fed and that you're allowed, and that's the one that's pushed. That's the one where you get the books. That's the one that gets on God TV. That's the one that gets the social viability. Not the real Jesus, because the real Jesus is forced out into the wilderness. It was the case back then, it's the case today. The real servants of God, they don't get the, okay, if you were the world system, think of it like this. Flip the thinking for a second. Why would you, if you're the world system and your whole thing is to rob, steal, kill, and destroy and serve your master, Lucifer, why would you take a real child of God that's sold out to the light and promote his books? And promote his television show, and promote his music? No, you wouldn't. And rightly so. They have all the right in the world to not allow you into their system, and likewise, we don't want their crap in the kingdom either. We don't want that. Because for us, I don't want a lie in the kingdom of God. I don't want a falsehood inside the kingdom of God. I don't want something that's considered just repulsive and to everything that, so there's an animosity that I have in my spirit to the kingdom of darkness that they have the exact same repulsion to light and truth. So I, you know, sometimes it's puzzling for me, why is it that all these kingdom people are still holding out for the world to love them? You know? Yeah, you know, let's go to John 17. John 17. Okay, there it is. And Jesus, when he prayed, says, "These words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on earth. On the earth I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me art of thee. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. I pray for them, I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. And all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I am come to thee. Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me I have kept, and none of them is lost but the son of perdition, that the scriptures might be fulfilled. And now come I to thee, that these things I spake in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world has hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe in me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them, as thou hast loved me. Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world has not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me. I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. Okay, so this whole thing is a process of consummation with the Father, consummation with the Spirit of God, us becoming one in Him. And us, the process of us becoming one in Him is us being taken out of the world and the slavery of the world. So in order for us to be not, but again, it's not going to happen without your free will. God is not going to force us to, He's not going to force us to be the bride of Christ. It's a choice. Everyone that is with Him in eternity will be those that just love Him, that all they want is to be with Him. And vice versa, those are they that He wants to be with. So it's a mutual thing. They both desire that. Whereas with the world, but they have to come out of the world. Those that don't want Him choose the world. Those that don't want Him choose self. And all of the manifestations and all the different ways that it shows up, it comes in so many different forms and fashions. Like you can have the world and the world system and your selfishness manifest. You can bow your knee and you can become, you know, a great man in politics or successful in business or the church thing. You can be a rock star in the church. You can be in the entertainment fields. You can be in a tremendous scientist. You can be, I mean, there are people that get Luciferic ideas that in the end are used to further the world system. Now, not to say that if somebody is a kingdom person that God can't, and He can't orchestrate circumstances for them to be in certain positions and places. But that's a rarity. So Daniel and a Joseph is really, really rare, where they're actually in a position inside of a wicked kingdom where they have some rank, but you look at what they even went through. You have some rank in the eyes of the world, but you look at what they even went through to be in those positions. Both of them went through just so many trials. You know, a real hellish thing for both of them. I mean, Joseph, 13 years before he was actually put into that position. And he went from being sold as a slave by his own brothers to to then serving in Potiphar's house, to being falsely accused because he wouldn't get it on with Potiphar's wife when she wanted some, and then the dungeon, and stuck in the dungeon, and then he interprets guys' dreams and they forget about him. So he helps people out, and the very people he helped out, they forgot him. And all of that time, in the middle of that, you know, frustration and all of that, but still the word of the Lord being true. And he still stayed true to the Father. And in God's good time, God works out a situation. And even when he's in that position, you know that he was under attack. You know that he was stressed. You know that he was strained. But he had an assignment that God had given him. And he would stay true to that. Same with Daniel. I mean, Daniel in the lion's den and all the things that happened. I mean, he was set up. You know, and these guys set the king up just to get Daniel. So you will be, if you're in any kind of position like that, any true heart that's ever in any kind of position that touches the world in a stronger way, as far as like the world system, they will be absolute targets. And they have to be like, understand that that's going to be it. The only reason you want that is because the Father puts you there, not because you want that for yourself. You wouldn't take that job in yourself in a million years. The only reason that you would be there is because, okay, the Lord says He wants you there, okay, I go there. The Lord wants you to be a soldier, okay, I go, I'm going to be a soldier. I'm going to be a really good soldier because the Father puts me there. I'm going to be a really good businessman because the Lord puts me there. Whatever it is, it's where He puts you. But you're not doing something in and of yourself independent of His leadership, of His lordship. And also in that process, He can reroute you in a second. And if He reroutes you tomorrow, you just leave it all because you don't care. You have no vested interest in that. You have no vested interest in that job. You have no vested interest in that position. You have no vested interest in anything in the world because you trust Him. So your life can be radically different every couple of years. It's fine. It's okay. Sure. Great. Wonderful. Super. Because also one thing Jesus promised us is He came that we might have life and have it more abundantly, John 10:10. So He will lead you in that path, and you will probably experience a number of changes, twists and turns, because all of that is part of the abundant life. And see, also part of it too is you need to experience the range of emotions. You need to experience the low so that you can, when you have a high in Christ, you know the difference. You know, if you experience the pain of separation from Him, then when you restore to Him, you just like, wow. And that's part of what this life is too. We experience the pain of being separated from Him and the agony of being left unto ourselves. And then we experience the joy of being, of resting in His arms and of knowing Him. And when you know Him and you are in His presence and He has you and you're walking in obedience to Him, you're like, oh God, thank you for saving me. He's like, thank you for saving me. Saving me from myself? Saving me from this world system? Saving me from the damage I would have done to me if left to my own devices in this mess? And then you're just so grateful that He saved you. And then it's like, well, why wouldn't I want to share this with someone else? See, the kingdom of God is unlimited. That's another thing that's really cool. God's kingdom is unlimited. He is the source of creation. The world system is absolutely limited. It's a zero-sum game. There's only so many pieces to go around. There's only so much that they have. And so that's why they're always fighting and devouring to get as much as they can at the expense of someone else. So there's only so much they have that they can work with. There's only so much resources. There's only so much that they can work with in their system, in their economy, in their way that they think. So it's about amassing as much as you can for yourself at the expense, deliberately, of anybody that can't. And all the rewards that they can grab in this world system for themselves as being able to do that, that's what they take. Now, the kingdom people were different. We serve an unlimited God. There is no limitation in Him. Out of your belly flows rivers of living water. He is the source of life. All things in Him live and move and have their being as those that are kingdom people and in line with Him. So for us, we don't have any limitation. So it's like freely we receive, freely we give, because we know where we got it from. And He's the source. And so for Him, it's, if He's got a million people out in the desert, it's not an issue. He just wants them to trust. And in the moment when they need it, He'll provide for them. He does that. He does that for His people before. He does that for His people right now. He will continue to do that for His people in the days ahead. But they have to trust Him. And see, that's why too, you know, even like recently with some of the situations I was dealing with, when things don't work out and you are following God, thank Him, because it's for your own good. It's for your own life journey. It's for His plan and purpose to be manifest in you. It's not something to... if He's rerouting you, be grateful for it, because you can't see down the line. And if everything worked out the way that you thought you wanted it to, just think back 5 years ago. If you got everything that you thought you wanted back then, where you'd be today. Yeah. So it's like, well, why would I want that? Now, I think back to things that I thought, you know, would have been fulfilling, you know, 5 years ago, 10 years ago. I am so glad that God rerouted me, because but it came at a specific point, which was me bowing my knee before Him, so He would draw me, and as He drew me, I responded, bowed my knee before Him, and said, Lord, Your kingdom come, Your will be done, whatever You want, 100% I'm game, just all I need is just show me. And He then shows you, and then as He shows you, you walk in that. And as you walk in that, you begin to live out that life that He intends for you. That's enough. And you go through a few years like that, and you see what life happens, and what happens in life, and what life becomes. It's absolutely amazing. Because He restores you. He gives you purpose. You see the world through different eyes. He starts to quicken you into what's really going on. And then He starts to show you also how you are to relate to this reality as His person. The entire thing takes on a whole different meaning. If you were on the deck of the Titanic before the sides ruptured and after the sides ruptured, you would see that entire situation completely different just by one instant that changes everything. One instant it's the most amazing ship that sailed the seas, and in the next instant it's the biggest coffin that's ever been put on the water, and everybody wants off. Just one thing. One thing had to happen, that was it. Your life, your reality, your paradigm can change so much, so quickly. See, for kingdom people, what we do too is we look for truth. We seek truth. We want truth. Even if it's the most painful reality there is, there's something in us that cries out for truth. We want to know. We can't accept the lie. We can't... See, worlders, they want the lie. They want to believe the lie. They look for it. They anticipate it. They want somebody to give them what they want to hear. And if somebody gives them what they want to hear, they promote that person, they push that person, they surround themselves with that people. But the problem is, in the end, we want truth. Like if you had some sickness in your body, you don't want the doctor to sugarcoat it. Tell you what is going on so that you can then make an informed decision, so you can deal with the situation, and then you can make some choices. But if you keep getting a lie, you never know what's going on, and then you're stuck. And things that you could be dealing with, you can't deal with. So these games are played. They're played all the time. They're played with people all the time. But kingdom people want truth. And also we want people that are of truth. So if we have somebody in our life, if it's a friend, if it's a relationship, whatever, you want truth people. Because in the end, see, here's the thing about truth. Truth is consistent. The truth will always be the truth. There's no gray area in Christ. He is light. He is life. Now, He can take you deeper into that truth. Things that you didn't know before, now all of a sudden like, whoa, okay. I see things now that I didn't see before. But it's always there. He just revealed more of that truth to you. But the lie just builds on itself, and it's inconsistent. You never know what a lie. I mean, it's like it changes tomorrow. Flip-flops all over the place. you know, you're just stuck. You're stuck in a circle. You're stuck dead. So that's why too, when you see so many people inside of these church buildings that have given themselves over to the state or the government or to denominating themselves and turning their back on truth, well, what's happened? Well, everybody's now embracing a lie. In embracing a lie, they're in the exact same place that they were 25 years ago. When I visit sometimes some of these spots, just because of traveling or, you know, for whatever reason, these people are in the same spot that they were 10 years ago. They haven't moved. Spiritually, they're in the same spot. They've died. And you think, just think for yourself, what you've learned and what God showed you as you've dared to go out into the wilderness with Him, because that's where He was. Because He said, Revelation 3:20, He says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear My voice," individually, here, let's go there, Revelation chapter 3. Because this is the time that we are living in now, for sure. Revelation chapter 3. And verse 20 says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear My voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with Me." Okay, so he stands at the door and knocks. Which door? Well, when he's talking to these churches, okay, in that situation, and he's standing at the door of that church and knocking, if you want to be with Jesus, where do you have to go? You have to go outside. Because he's not welcome inside, because this is a church caught up in materialism, spiritually blind, doesn't even understand its spiritual state. And he stands at the door and knocks, and he says, if any man being individual, not if the church hears his voice, if any individual, because it's always to the individual. God always works heart to heart, one on one. If you have a bunch of people together that have heard his voice, great. But he works one-on-one with each cell in the body, with each individual in the body, with each member of the body. He works with them one-on-one. He speaks to them directly. So if any man hears his voice, so that single individual hears his voice and opens the door, they go outside to be him. So they leave the conformity, they leave the system, they leave the approval of man and the need for the approval of man to receive the approval of God. And they put themselves in that situation, in a spiritual position where they can now be with Him, be consummated with Him. And so then here He says, "I will come into Him, will sup with Him, and He with Me." So there's the consummation of that person with the Spirit of God. But they have to leave that system. So when they hear His voice, and how often the terror of people leaving that system is too much for them, because they don't want to be out in the cold, because their business depends on that group, because their kids go to the same school, because there's so many ways that they're hooked in that they can't let it go. And in the end, what they end up doing is, because they can't let it go to follow Christ, they end up forgetting what the freedom is that they're offered in Christ and being slaves to the world system. Now, when the world sees you free, when the world sees somebody walking this path with Him, there is the alarm system of the world that goes off and says, "Catch this person." And when you're free, that's when everything starts coming out of the woodwork to get you back. And we went through before, we talked about how if they can't get your free will to bow to the system and reject Christ, then they will work to get you out of alignment and to try to kill you if possible. If they can't do that, then they will work to ostracize you and to push you out in the desert and to put you in a place where you have limited access, if at all, to any opportunity, and just leave you in the wilderness. But in the middle of all this, God's purposes are being manifest. See, for us, the thing that's amazing is, like, the whole thing can flip on a dime. Like, for example, take Stephen in Acts, not Stephen, Philip in Acts chapter 8. Here, let's go there really quick. Philip in Acts chapter 8. Bless you. Okay. And verse 26 said, "And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise and go toward the south, the way that goeth down from Jerusalem into Gaza, which is the desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, and a eunuch, of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all of her treasure, and had come to Jerusalem for the worship, was returning, and sitting in his chariot, reading Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him, and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah, and said, Understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, How can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this, He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before the shearers, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speakest the prophet this? Of himself or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture, and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came into a certain water, and the eunuch said, Here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. But Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. Okay, so even in the desert, if you're pushed out into the desert, the Spirit of God will lead you in the desert. And even in the desert, when God leads, He orchestrates circumstances, situations, for His plan and purpose to be fulfilled. In this situation, He takes Philip and uses him to reach this eunuch with the message of the gospel. But this guy would then go back into Ethiopia and would be the, even like the Book of Enoch, I mean, where it was found was in the Ethiopic in Ethiopia. The connections and the purposes and the plans of God and how God works out, and even the faith that they found in Ethiopia when they actually ended up going there, the power of what God did, even that began at this point from one man in the desert that's listening to His voice. One man in the desert listening to the voice of God can change everything. So we don't despise the situations and the circumstances of life. We embrace them if you are walking in truth. See, the main thing is the only thing I want to know is, God, am I on track with you? And if I'm off track with you, Lord, please show me so that I can get back on track, because I don't want to miss what you're doing. And forgive me when the places that I screw up and that I mess up, because I don't want to miss what you're doing here. I don't want to miss a moment of what this life is meant to be in you. So He shows us that. He reveals that to us. As He shows and reveals that to us, we continue on. Now, there is... we talked a little bit last time about the internal alignment based on the free will decisions that we make. Now, there are things that we can do to line ourselves up with what God is doing. And we take that responsibility upon ourselves. He empowers us by His Spirit to be able to do that. So we have His Spirit. That's the whole Acts 1 verse 8. where, just flip back a few chapters since we're already in Acts, and go Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, where he says, "But ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, that ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." So God gives the spiritual power to put to death anything in your life that keeps you from being the reflection of Him that He intends you to be. But you have the free will decision to utilize that power to be able to then put those things to death. So you make that choice as well. So for example, you can choose to be an addict or not be an addict. You can choose to be in a moral lifestyle or not. You can choose to have whatever excess, whatever vice, or you can choose to let it go and let God fill that part of your life. You cry out to Him, He'll help you. In whatever area He'll help you. And sometimes He will show you, do this, don't do this, change this, don't change this. Whatever it is, He'll help you. Because in the end, His desire is that you live free. He wants you to be free so you can experience the fullness that life was meant to be. He didn't intend for us to live bound. So, we're made to be free. See, that's the thing too. Human beings were made, designed, intended to be free. And so what the devil did, and what the Nephilim and all of the servants of the enemy did, was they took the freedom that God intended and created a distorted reality of that freedom, then offered that to people, tricked them into it, showed them a deception, showed them a lie. They fell for the lie, and in falling for the lie, they leave a place of freedom and exchange it for a bondage. And then the goal is to keep them locked into that bondage for as long as possible, because, and to keep them from knowing there's a way out. See, they want you to not know there's a way out. They want you to not know that there is another reality possible. They want you to not know that you can live differently. You know, they want people to say, this is all that's there ever is going to be, this is all my life will ever be, my life is crap, and so I'm just going to kind of try to hold on until the end and hopefully things will work out. No. Today is the day of eternal life. God grants for His people, for those that are His, life eternal and abundant life now. You can start that adventure right now. That it comes on His terms. But you also have to reject the lie. And see, here's another problem with that too, is that most of the people you're around have not rejected the lie. Most of the people you're around have embraced the lie. So because they've embraced the lie, when they see you going in a different direction that's counter the one they've chosen, you become a target. Just because you have chosen a different paradigm that's not them. So realize that. That's also part of the courage that it takes, that He gives you that power to do a different thing, to do walk a different way, to live a different life. You get that. You get that from Him. See, we also have to experience all of this, because in the whole thing, you will experience a full life. See, most people, they're, by embracing the world, what they get is a very shallow, very superficial, very empty reality at best, before it harvests their souls, kills them off, and makes room for the next generation. So at best, the people around them, because they're all liars anyways, they're all surrounded by lies, they don't have a real relationship, period. And their jobs are jokes. They're only given their jobs because they're sellouts. They're only given their position not based on their on anything except the fact they sold out to the system. If they didn't sell out to the system, they wouldn't have got the job. Hello? So it's like, okay, so they don't get the position unless they sell out. And then there has to be something nagging at them inside too, knowing that there are other people out there that are more skilled, more creative, more capable, that are kept out, and they themselves are put in It's kind of like, like just a really, really dumb guy that gets put in the position of some organization because he's related or knows somebody, or just forced in there, but he can't do the job. And it's all good old boys network. Buddy, buddy, friend, friend, hey, help me do this. But they live a shallow existence. It's all a lie, and it's all about what their rank is in the satanic system. And the higher they go in the satanic system, the lower they go in eternal reality. And then they're born into this, and their true spirit, their true soul, comes out after they die. And then you see what a horrific, grotesque, leftover piece of garbage that they are. Completely rejected by God's standard. Whereas kingdom people that go through this life and we embrace truth and we embrace the Spirit of God and the love of God flows through us and we take hits and damage and be maligned and slandered, and we didn't do anything. We just were trying to bless people and help them. And all of this comes just because of the spiritual reality that you're aligned with, which is from the kingdom of God. Fine, we accept it. And then when you go through this life and the battering and the bruising and all that takes place, and you're still rejoicing and praising God, when you come through that other side and this life is finished and you've overcome, because to him that overcomes, God continually encourages, he says, look, overcome. To him that overcomes, you overcome because you're in him and you continue to remain in him, and in him you live and move and have your being. John 16, the end of the chapter, you know, in this world you will have trouble, but take heart, for he has overcome the world. So we overcome. When we then step into eternal reality, that spirit that's in you, that soul that's in you, shines like a thousand suns, like a million suns, stars in the sky. I mean, it's just glorious, because that's the real you. And in spite of all of the oppression, in spite of all of the attacks, in spite of everything that the world intended to do you wrong and harm, we come through that victorious, child of God, child of light. And so what, in this short lifespan, in this 80 years that people have here, 90 years, what, 100, you get 100, fine. Who cares compared to what's offered in Christ Jesus? So you're something in this world. Well, there was a lot of people that were something in this world. They're not here anymore. Where are they? Did they take any of the wealth that they amassed for themselves with them? Even the pharaohs and the all those guys in Egypt, all of their pyramids, they got robbed after they died. You know, all these grave robbers showed up and just plundered the stuff that they had amassed for themselves. They ran it. He's not around. He doesn't need it anymore. They went after it. When they found the tomb of King Tut, the only reason that there was anything there was because these guys made one tomb that was a fake tomb that looked like it had got robbed, and then they made a separate one that was in a separate passageway because they kind of had to hide it. So then eventually somebody else discovered it, you know, archaeologists that discovered it, and they're like, oh wow, you know, they actually found one that hadn't been robbed. So they took everything out and put it on display. So even then, you know, these guys didn't keep their stuff after that. Nobody keeps their things. Nobody keeps all their toys in the world. It doesn't mean anything. What is important is walking with the Spirit of God. If you walk with him, he promised to take care of your needs. He promised to look after you. He promised that he'd always be with you, never leave you or forsake you. So trust him in that. Because he's calling people into a path of freedom, a path of abundant life. The many are the called, but the chosen are few. Why? Because so many people hear that call, but who actually bows their knee and accepts what that call means? Who actually will take one step of faith after another and walk this life out with him? Few. But that's okay, because that's what God's looking for anyways. He's looking for those few. And every person in eternity gets exactly what they've chosen. And there's not a person in eternity that will be able to say, oh, you know, I got a raw deal. No, they got exactly what they chose. People get the consequences of their choices in this life, how much more so in eternal reality. So that's why choose this day whom you'll serve. Choose life. Choose truth. Choose Christ Jesus. And as you choose that, brace yourself and embrace whatever it means on His terms, because He leads us in that path of freedom. And with that, our time is gone because it's a shorter night. So, stop. That I trade, His love still the same and it never changes. When I look at all the phases I've been through, from set apart, master's commission, and then now school, I see where I've been, but not where I'm going. It's kind of scary when you step out not knowing what your future holds, but God's plan's divine. And when I look back in my life, I see it many times. God is my strength and my refuge. I got nothing to fear, my vision's mad, you. I'm happy where I'm at. I got everything I need. There's nothing I lack, and I'm ready for the things that God has in store. 'Cause He's given me so much and so much more. I'm happy where I'm at. I got everything I need. There is nothing I lack, and I'm ready for the things that God has.